Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host. It's so good to have you with me. Today is episode 44. As I record this, it is Wednesday, the 30th of October, 2019. And today's guest is Celeste. Celeste came as a missionary, and I really embarrassed myself at the beginning of this interview by saying that she came from Brazil, when she actually came from Argentina. I mean, how badly wrong can you get something very essential to the interview? It got better after that. I thought, oh, can I edit this out? But I really can't because of the way it happened. So I'm fallible, everyone. Isn't that exciting? So, yes, and I'm talking to Celeste by Skype to London, which is very, very cool. Well, to Surrey. She also corrected me on that. And had a lovely conversation with her. She had a little girl in the background wandering around and talking on her phone and all kinds of fun things, so you have that in the background as well. But I still think it's worth listening to. I was so grateful to Celeste too, that she came on and had a chat to me, and we could talk about her life since she visited us in Tasmania, and where she's gone and why and how and what God's doing in her life. So it's a lovely interview with Celeste today. If I sound a bit croaky this morning, it's because I've just come back from the parliamentary prayer breakfast. So every year in Tasmania, we have a prayer breakfast with members of parliament, and more than half of our members of parliament attended this morning, and a whole lot of Christians from every different walk of life, and some school children, and we pray and we listen to very good talks. And today we had my friend Alexandra Legg playing cello, and she did such a beautiful job. So thank you, Alex. I know we didn't stop and clap you because you were on at the beginning as we were coming in and at the end as we were coming out, and so we didn't get to hear you properly, but it was still absolutely beautiful. The cello, it was delightful. And then the speaker, the main speaker of the day, was John Zeckendorf, and he is the first Tasmanian to climb Mount Everest to the summit. And so he talked to us about that, and that was really great. But if you missed it and you weren't at the prayer breakfast this morning, that's okay, because a lot of what he said to me in an interview on this podcast. So John Zeckendorf is episode 26. He talks about how he became a Christian. He's from a Jewish background, and so that was really interesting. And also, obviously, about climbing Mount Everest, doing the seven summits, and so that's the summit of the tallest peak of every continent in the world. He's done all of them. So, he's an amazing person, a really amazing person. And it was great to listen to him this morning and to have him just share his faith so strongly this morning. I had a couple of responses to last week's blog and podcast that I thought I'd share with you today. So, because last week's was with Michelle, who's the dentist, and we talked about flossing in the blog, about how important it is to do those uncomfortable and difficult things. And so it was quite funny. My cousin Rachel, g'day Rachel, she's a dental nurse, and she wrote, "Floss prevents loss," which I thought was pretty cool. And also my friend Jill, she wrote that she flosses after every single meal and that she even has floss in her car. So she's a whole lot more dedicated flossing than I am. And I'm pretty sure she's that dedicated, at least, if not more, to reading her Bible and to praying. So she's a marvelous person. So hey, Jill, thanks for responding. I also have had a thought this week that I thought I'd put to you all. I wondered if you had questions that you wanted me to ask my guests on this podcast. So if you are a regular listener, you'll know that I have a few regular questions. I ask people how they became Christian. I ask when they feel close to God and what's one thing about God that they wish everyone knew. But there are other questions, I'm sure, that people have. And if you've been listening to this podcast and listening to some interviews and thinking, oh, I wish she'd just ask that, or why doesn't she ask this, feel free to send me a message or put it in a comment. I'd love to have some new questions to scare my guests with. So please feel free to do that. In the week coming up, I am starting something called NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month. And that is it's very difficult to describe. It's not a competition, it's a competition with yourself. It's a charity, but it's not something that you have to pay to be part of. But it's an international thing where people try to write a novel of 50,000 words during the month of November. So it's November on the 1st. On the 1st of November is on Friday. And from that day onwards, I'm going to try to write at least 1,667 words each day and get a novel complete by the end of the month. I tried this in 2016 and I won. And by winning, I mean I wrote 50,000 words in the month of November in 2016. And it was great fun. It's just such an encouraging group of people. There are Facebook groups that you join that you get encouragement from, and you buddy up with people and encourage each other, and you have writing sprints and writing races and write-ins with people where you get together and write together. And it's just a lovely community, and it's just fun. And I decided that I would write a book this November that is also just fun. So I am bringing aliens to the little town of Signet in southern Taz, and I think it's going to be, I'm a bit of a Doctor Who tragic. I think I'm going to enjoy writing this book, and we'll see what comes of it. So that's starting on Friday, which is day after tomorrow, and I'm a little bit nervous about how much time I'm going to have to put into that and how I'm going to actually make it happen, but I'm also really, really looking forward to it. So that's going to take up quite a bit of my life coming up. There's also a literary festival that happens to be in Signet that is on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to be part of that, and just going to panels and a masterclass and enjoying it. So so I'm all about writing from here on in. I'm hoping to tweet daily on my RJ Amos Twitter account, because this comes under my RJ Amos self rather than my Ruth Amos self, but I thought my Ruth Amos listeners might be interested, so I just thought I'd pass it on. Anyway, so that's what's coming up for me. So having said all of that, I hope you enjoy these little introductions that I do. If you don't, you can always skip them. They are not too long. But now that I've brought you up to date with where I am myself, let's have a listen to Celeste. And for those people here who go to my church who know Celeste, I'm sure you will enjoy hearing where she's at now. But for all the rest of you, and she's just a lovely person, and it's really great to hear how God's working in her life now. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Celeste. So today's guest is Celeste, and Celeste is living in London, yes?
Yes. And in Surrey, an hour from London.
In Surrey. So I met Celeste in Tasmania when she was there from Brazil working as a missionary.
No, not
Brazil.
From Argentina.
Argentina. Wow, yes. What a thing to get wrong. Okay, see, I should have been nervous and not you. But you came from Argentina to work as a missionary in our church. And Priscilla and Celeste came together, and they were just, you were such a blessing to us. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Always remember, but I don't know which one of you said it, but at that final service where we were saying goodbye, one of you said that about identity, that my identity is that I'm the disciple or that Jesus loves. That was really meaningful to me at that time. So we have remained Facebook friends, but I don't know a lot about what you've been doing in the intervening years, Celeste, so it's going to be exciting to chat today. And I just want to say to everyone listening, if you hear another voice, which I can hear right now, that is Celeste's daughter Mia, who is chatting with us as well. So
Yes.
So that will be lovely. Cool.
Yeah.
So we might start where we always start, which is, how did you become a Christian?
What can I do for you?
Well, really, I was born in a Christian family, so I was brought up Christian, but I remember praying about the prayer about God, inviting God, Jesus to your heart and everything. But what was important for me was when I got baptized, because my parents, even though they were Christians and they met at a church, they decided not to baptize us when we were little. So I decided to get baptized at 12. And I think it was something important for me so that I could really own my relationship with God. Like, it's not anymore through my parents. It's it was a moment that I could decide how to, yes, go about with my faith. And growing up, I always like envied a tiny bit or really wanted to have like a more, I don't know, a story to tell that would be amazing about how I became a Christian. But really, God showed me that, well, some people have those kinds of stories and some other people were blessed to, yes, God shielded them from lots of things. And that's how I feel now. God showed me to be grateful that I didn't have to go through any difficult situations and tough times in my life. And I was protected by him through my youth, that, yes, other girls weren't as blessed as me. Yeah.
Yes, it's very, you know, when you grow up in the church, because I did too, and it's very easy to think, oh, my conversion isn't as real as somebody who has that, the horrible story and then the great story. But it is still faith and it's still real, so it's precious. Yeah. So how old were you when you came to Tasmania?
I think I was 21.
Right. Yeah.
I had just finished studying early years teaching.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have an experience abroad, and talking with one of my best friends, Priscilla, and she was a fellow leader at the church with me. We both wanted to have an experience abroad, so we talked to our pastor in Argentina, and he said, "Well, I know the bishop of Tasmania, John Harrower,
of course,
because he used to live in Argentina many years ago." He used to go to the same church as my pastor when he was growing up. So we got contacted with John Harrower, which is a lovely person. Then God made it so that we could go. But it was a time of some uncertainties and having to do steps in faith with the visa and not knowing if paying the visa and not knowing if we were going to be accepted or not. So from the beginning it was a journey of learning and having to rely on God, and that was for me, it was a life-changing experience from the start.
Yeah,
and then our trip to Tasmania and our journey there and the 6 months we spent there were life-changing for me. Yes, in lots of senses, and getting to know the area to going to a lovely church at St. Clement's, where we really, God really, I don't know, pampered us with, we got there and how we were received by all the families, and everything was so organized. Different families had arranged to take us different places or invite us to their home. So that was amazing for us. But yeah, I think what really God showed me more than everything that we learned and all the experiences we had was as simple as his relationship with me through that time, and his provision for us. For example, we had an experience where we were leaving Tasmania. We had our farewell party, and a lady from church gave us an envelope with money on it, and we said, no, we don't need anything, don't worry about us. And then when we had to leave the day before, we received the news that our flight was cancelled. And we had to, our flight from Sydney to Argentina was cancelled, so we had to stay for a night in Sydney. And the money in the envelope was enough for the night in Sydney.
Wow, that's amazing.
Do you remember giving us that envelope?
No, I don't. Wow.
No?
That's incredible.
That's a surprise for you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
There you go.
Well,
but God,
later we thought, well, you had told us, well, God showed us to give you this envelope. And so then we thought, well, as your parents were missionaries,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I thought, well, this is what, like, missionaries depend on God showing other people.
Yeah.
What they need before they know it themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was one of the times where God really showed I'm in control, I have you in my hand. And
it really shows that God is real. You have a couple of experiences like that, and then you look back at it all your life when you go into that new risk situation and you're like, you know, what am I doing? And then you think, oh, well, let me just remember back to that envelope with the money in it. And he knows what's
going
on. But
we can forget about the extraordinary things that God did in our lives. So it's good to... write it down, and then when you write your prayers and then you go back and see, well, this has been answered, this has been answered, this has been answered, this has been answered. If not, you go through your life like, oh, it must have been a coincidence that...
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now, I can't remember who the famous person is, but he said... when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't pray, they don't happen. I'll have to look that one up. Put it in the show notes.
That's great.
So do you keep a prayer journal or some sort of formal record of your prayers?
Yes. mainly when there's something that I've been praying for a long time, or that something that is really important for me. And if you ask me when do I feel God closer to me, is when he puts me in situations where I need to depend on him.
Sure.
And that's when we went to Tasmania, we were away from family and friends. And now that we came to live in the UK, and also we're away from family and friends and having to depend on God for everything. And when you're put in those situations by God, and also when we allow God to put us in these situations of stepping out of our comfort zones, and being in situations where things are not easy, and we have to really rely on God. Because I think when I was back in Argentina and we both had jobs and car and a place to live, you can forget, or you can think, well, you're not in that situation of having to rely on God.
What's brought you to Surrey? What brought you from Argentina to Surrey, to the UK?
Well, my husband is from an English background. His mother was born here in England, so we used to go to an Anglican church in Argentina. So he always had that in the back of his mind, what would it be like to go and come and live here in London, in England. So when we had our first child, he got a little bit, he didn't have a meltdown, but he started saying, well, my job is not going anywhere. Where is our daughter going to go to school? Are we going to be able to afford it? And etc. So I think that's when he started, it made a click, and he started thinking really about the future. And I told him, well, that's great, we'll pray about it and see it. Like, I need to feel that God is showing us to go. And the way things happened, I had a lot of peace with coming here, and God showed us that it was the thing to do. By how things developed and things quickly, like, he got a job here while being in Argentina. We have friends that live here were living here in Leatherhead, Surrey. So they said, well, you should come here. And we said, well, we're going the 9th of September. And they said, oh, you can come and live in the flat that we are renting, because we are living like the 8th of September, more or less.
Yes.
Like, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was a bit obvious that God was putting things together so that we could come here. And and when I came here, I was like, well, God, Pablo has his job, and I have friends at church, and it's different when you come and you go to another country, but you go to a church, you feel like a family, like you have a family.
Yeah.
And I instantly went to a Bible study group with mothers with babies, so that it was what I needed. So, yeah, but I prayed for God to show me what he had for me here in the UK, what he wanted me to do here. And, well, he responded that prayer not so long ago, like last month. I got a job as the children and families minister at a church here in near where we live. It wasn't our church, but we moved church.
Yes.
So it's a very exciting time for me and to see how God responded. And we had prayed like with my daughter, with my eldest daughter, she's 4. We used to pray at night and she would say it. She struggled with saying, like, with differentiating, we ask and thank you for. So she would say, thank you for a house. Thank you for a job for my mommy. Thank you for.
Oh,
so she
lovely.
Used to. She used to thank God before things happen. So I think maybe it's the way to go. Thank you for the job that you are going to give me.
That's awesome.
And God provided.
Yeah.
Amazing. So it's my second week on the job. but I'm new, but everything is very new. But we're very happy.
Yes.
So I think the puzzle is starting to look, not complete now, but Jesus is putting, God is putting everything, so that we can see clearer what he has for us here and what his plan for us is for the near future, at least. So... yeah.
That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Wow. So we you said that you felt close to God when you're absolutely depending on him. Is there any other times when you feel especially close to God? You know, do you like being in nature, or do you have a quiet time every day, or I mean, your life must be pretty mad with the children and
yes. But we live in a lovely place. We are really blessed that we have, you think London, England is a tiny island and it's full of people, but we live in a place where we have parks and lots of green. So yes, I'm reminded of being grateful to God for his creation and what he does. And being away from family and friends, I think, yes, it's very important to feel God close to us. So it makes us draw closer to God.
Yeah. Did you always, as a child, did you always have a big desire to travel internationally, or is this just something that's happened?
My father is a pilot, so we used to travel a lot. But, yeah, it's always like, yes, I always wanted to travel, but I always wanted a family. And so sometimes you think, well, things cannot go together. I think I was so lucky that, well, lucky
in inverted commas.
When I went to Tasmania, I had my boyfriend Pablo, that he's my husband now. And I always thought, like, do I regret something about my youth, like not, I don't know, not being like the rest of the other teenagers that went to clubs and did other types of lifestyles that, as a Christian, I didn't. And really, I think I could do everything that I wanted, because Pablo really supported me when I wanted to travel to Tasmania for those 6 months, and everyone was like, "Oh, 6 months!" And it got us closer together, because having to write letters or and so I think I was very fortunate that God showed Paolo to support me in that, and then I supported Paolo when he wanted to I'm here, so but also I think, I don't know, it's when like you people are not prophets in their land, something like that, where I feel like being in another country, I can, I don't know, I feel that I can talk about Jesus more openly, because, you don't do this here, talk about Jesus, well, back in my country, yes, we, so I can be a bit quirky or something and get away with it, because I'm from another country, so.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think, in that sense,
so that leads me nicely to my last question, which is, what is one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
Well, first of all, for people to know that God is real. God can be real in your life if you let him, if you give him that opportunity to be part of your life and to bless you. And also for people to know that you don't have to carry with all your problems and your worries and your past and everything that is a big bag of whole loads of bad things. You can present it to God and ask God to take that load off from you, and ask God to help you with that. And we could talk theology for hours, but what's most important is to say, well, this is how God reveals himself to me, and how God is present in my life. Encourage people to step out of their comfort zones too, and rely on God more. And that's when God can really show what he can do, if we give him the reins, right? Of our life. That's when he can really show his power and what he can do in our lives.
Yeah. And then you get such great stories that you can tell people or remind people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Celeste. It's been amazing. And Mia as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes, now I have to see what she has been doing while she was out and about. I'll find some things smeared somewhere
Motherhood is a wonderful thing.
Yes. Well, thank you for inviting me on your podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, I have such fond memories of Tasmania, and I always say Tasmania has the shape of my heart. It's very corny, but I always have a special place in my heart for Tasmania. So I'm hoping someday I'll take my family there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. Awesome. Yeah. Tasmania has the shape of my heart. Don't you just love that? What places have your heart? And where are you willing to go for God? Next week's interview is with Christina. She's someone who welcomes travellers to Tasmania. She runs a backpackers hostel, and she's also very much into art and music, so we talk creativity. I want to thank Catherine Joy for the music, Catherine Joy from Joy Music House, and thank Matt Dobson for transcription. And I want to say to you, please remember to share this with somebody if you think it might be helpful to them. Let's get the word out about this podcast and get ourselves some more listeners. And please drop me a line if you would like to share anything with me. And I will chat to you again next week.